Good evening. Certainly glad to see all of you. Thank you for being here. It means a tremendous amount that so many of you have come from such a great distance. And we had a very good crowd last night. Many of you are back and got some new visitors. So thank you. I certainly appreciate it. This weekend is an opportunity for refreshment. It's an opportunity for us to be revived, to think about spiritual matters. It's an opportunity for us to think about Jesus Christ and what it is that we're doing in this life. And you've asked me to come and to help provide this refreshment. Now, it's not just that we would be happy and that we'd feel good about where we are, but it's also about thinking about our lives and are we doing what we are supposed to do from a spiritual standpoint. So my job is not to paint the picture as if everything's perfect, but to remind us and to wake us up and to help us not to be too complacent in our world and to be refreshed in a spiritual direction. That's the purpose of what we're doing this weekend. Tonight, I want us to look at the topic of diversity and long-suffering. Diversity and long-suffering. Now, perhaps when you think about diversity, you think about diversity of races or diversity of many different things, diversity of languages, diversity of so many different things in our world. Not exactly the slant we're taking tonight. Not at all. I want us to begin with a verse that maybe we would not think about being related to diversity. Luke chapter 15, verses 29 and 30. You'll recognize this story, and this is pulled straight out of this story, and you'll know it. And he answered and said to his father, "Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf." You ever thought about that verse and that passage being about diversity? Maybe not. But here we've got one son who is an in-the-moment kind of guy. He's the kind of person, if it looks like it's good, he wants to do it. If it looks like it's fun, he's on board. And then you've got another son who is more of a rule keeper. Another son who is more disciplined and more diligent. And all the time his brother's been away having a whoopee time, and not condoning that at all. All this time his brother's been away, he has been steadfast and loyal, and he's stayed right on task. This passage is all about diversity. It talks a lot about sin and difficult choices, but this last final bit that Jesus throws in talks about diversity and how we have many different gifts and the different ways that we choose to live life, the different things that drive us to make decisions can irritate other people around us. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to spend our time this evening looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you'd like to turn your Bibles there, all of our text is going to come from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And verse 15 says, "If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body?" Now, I like that verse. It's kind of quirky. It's kind of weird to think about your foot or your hand speaking with personification as if it's a real being. But it's saying, you know, just because I'm not the hand, I can't do what the hand does, then I'm not in the body at all. Paul is trying to make a logical statement here to try to get the people to realize some things. Let's spend a few minutes looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost." Now, he's been speaking about spiritual gifts, and then he's going to talk about these gifts more in verse 4. "There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh at one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Okay, let's stop before we keep going. There are gifts that are described here that are not present in our day and time. But there are gifts that are described in this passage that are here in our day and time. The diversities of administrations and operations and those types of things, that's still with us. We have that. That's still part of who we are today. But there are things here in this passage that's not here today. Continuing in verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Now comes the arguments that he was making that we talked about earlier. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? Okay. We're getting into many different things here in this passage that illustrate to us differences. Different kinds of operations, different kinds of administrations. There's gifts of wisdom, there's gifts of knowledge. Gifts that may vary from person to person. Differences. And then he throws in there these questions. The foot says, I'm not a hand, so I'm not of the body. Okay? Now that sounds very simplistic, but let's take that and put it into human terms. I'm not like them over there. They don't think like I do. They don't act like I do. They do things differently. I don't like the way they do things. I'm not part of them. They won't let me in. It's sort of cliquish. They won't let me in to let me be part of things. I'm not part of them. I know this group over here, and you know, they do things their own way. It doesn't matter if you've been with them for 10 years or not. You're still an outsider. The outsider been there, been outside the whole time. So I'm just not part of them. That's the mindset that Paul's trying to describe. He's trying to illustrate that there's differences, and those differences sometimes can create friction, and the friction can create situations where people think, well, I'm just not part of them. I'm not part of the body because I'm not like them. Because I'm a foot and I'm not a hand, then I'm not part of them. Because I'm an ear and not an eye, then I'm not part of them. And did you notice how many different body parts he used? He used four. Four different body parts. At the risk of spending too much time on things that are not soundly found in the Scriptures, I want us to describe for a few minutes four different personality types. And there are some very deep principles that I think apply. And once we have a little bit more understanding of some personality information, I think we can see more clearly the points that Paul is trying to make. Four different categories, and I want to be upfront with you, there's many different versions of this. It goes all the way back to Plato. For thousands of years, people have divided personality types into four different quadrants. And even today, there's four or five different ways of describing this, and what I'm going to present is a blend of these ideas. First of all, and to help separate, that's blue. To help separate these concepts, I want us to use colors so that we can keep these things separate. If you've never heard this before, then it'll help to separate the different personalities and the different personality types. I want us to think about a group of people who are focused very much on relationships. I want you to think about a group of people that are caring and kind and compassionate, and their focus, their primary focus is on making the people around them happy. Think about, I don't know, every grandmother is not sweet and kind and gentle. The ones I've had certainly have been, and the ones I know have been. So think grandmotherly thoughts. There may not be, there may be some other kinds of grandmothers in the world, but think grandmotherly thoughts. Think of someone that's gentle and kind and that's going to put an arm around your shoulder when you're down and want to help you out. Think that kind of person. Now, here's some words to help describe this kind of person. They're generally optimistic. They're genuine, friendly, empathetic. They're very devoted. They're peacemakers. Their primary objective in life is to keep the people around them happy. And when the people around them are happy, they're happy. This is gold. And when you think of this gold group, think responsibility. Shift away from that mindset of thinking about the person that's all about relationships. Now think about responsibility. Think about individuals who feel a great desire to keep the rules, a great desire to do the right thing, make the right choice, do the right action, do it, get it done, be on time, be prepared, have everything in order. Think about somebody that's just very rigid when it comes to responsibility. Organized, consistent, timely, traditional, prepared, detailed, very detailed. Okay? You know anybody like that? I see some nodding. Okay? There are folks, and this is their MO. This is what they want in life. They're happy when there's order. They're happy when there's structure. They're very good at it. Very good at doing those things. It's just second nature for them to keep up with things and to stay in order and be organized. Rule keepers. Now let's change over to green. Green's a different category. Forget the other two. Let's start creating a new category. This group is all about competence. Now you may think that those last two kind of blend. One's responsibility, but competence is about knowledge. I want to know as much as I can know to make the right choices. I want to learn. I'm constantly wanting to learn and to dig. And folks that are in this category constantly want to learn as much as they can learn, as deep as they can learn it. There's a term called a maven. A maven is someone who wants to know a little bit about a lot of things. And many times they know a lot about a lot of things. And they're very knowledgeable on many different topics. They don't look necessarily at the rules. They look beyond the rules. Okay, this is what the rule is supposed to be accomplishing, but we would do it better if we would do it this way. This is what we're supposed to be doing here. This is why we're here. We're not doing that. Let's do this different. The folks in this category, the competency group, they want to make sure that when we're here, when we're on task, when we're doing something, we're getting the most bang for our buck. Let's point our energy in the right direction. Let's be as efficient as we can. Let's change. Let's change and try something new. If it doesn't work, okay, let's change something else. We'll do it a different way, another time. Let's change all the time if we have to until we get it right. Let's do it as right as we can. Here's some words that represent this category. Insightful. Analytical, visionary, perfectionist. I don't like to mess up. Perfectionist, logical, and knowledgeable. We said we're going to talk about four categories. Here's the last one. This one is orange. Doesn't really look orange, but it's orange. This group is about freedom. And here's our prodigal son. Freedom. Don't want the rules. Don't care about the future. We're right now in this moment. Let's have fun. Let's laugh. Let's joke. Let's have a good time. Let's spend some money. Might be fun. Let's on a whim go and make a trip somewhere. And let's don't necessarily think about, we don't really have the money to do it. Let's just go. Let's just go take care of it. Not necessarily thinking about the structure, the strategy of the past. Not necessarily looking at the future. May or may not be concerned about the relationships. Because if it's fun, if it's worth doing, then somebody may not like it, but they'll get over it. Okay? Here's some words that describe this group. Adventurous, spontaneous, motivational, creative, action-oriented, and free-spirited. You know any folks like that? We do. We know folks like this. Well, let's circle back around one more time. And for all of you who are the Golds, who like the structure, I'm going to go in the same order. So blues first. Now here's our list of very positive qualities for our relationship, folks. But there's another side to the coin here, because you throw in stress, you throw in hardship, and this group not only has strengths, they also have weaknesses. So this group can be passive aggressive. They want to keep everybody happy, so they'll just shut down. Let everybody say what they want to do. If they don't like it, then that passive aggressive behavior comes out, and you learn that they really didn't want to do that. They won't be up front and tell you about it. If something doesn't go right, they take it personally. Oh, it's my fault. It's my fault. I saw this happen just the other day at work. One of our bosses, we've got about six bosses, and one of the bosses didn't like something going on. Well, about five of the folks didn't care. One of them said, man, it's I just take that so personally, because it's like he's saying that I'm not doing my job, and I was. Internalizing things a lot of self-pity. If things aren't going good, everything's wrong. Overly emotional, depressed, codependent. You see, this group, they're all about keeping everybody else happy. Make everybody as happy as they can be. When everybody's happy, they're happy. But if everybody's not happy, then they take it very personally. It's very difficult. Good set of strengths and some inherent weaknesses. All right, let's go back to our gold group, our responsibility group. Throw in some stress, throw in some hard times, throw in some difficulty, and what do you get with a group that's very focused on the rules, very focused on getting things done and it being done the right way, very focused on the traditions and being detail-oriented? What do you get? You see folks that get very stubborn, get very rigid. We're not changing. They get very controlling, very closed-minded. Sometimes they can be very authoritarian, judgmental, because they're very focused on doing what they know they think is right based on what they've done in the past. They're very focused on being responsible for what is going on, and that is their MO. That's what they're after. That's their objective. So you throw in stress, and all of a sudden they're focusing in on those rules and getting those rules done. It's very, very important. Regardless of who they might step on. Green. Our competence group. Our competence group, they're looking out at the future. Let's change whatever we've got to change. Let's do whatever we've got to do. And they've got all this knowledge. They've been learning and learning and learning. And here's this knowledge. But now here comes a stressful situation. This stress is right in front of us. I'm sorry, I can't see that very well. Stress is right in front of us. And it's a difficult time. And what are we going to do? And all of a sudden, this group starts looking like they're very arrogant. Know-it-all. They may seem heartless. They may be overly intellectual. They may be egotistic or self-righteous, because they've been thinking about all this time and all this planning and all this foresight, and this is the way we need to go. And I know it's going to be difficult today. It's going to be difficult for 3 months and maybe even 3 years, but in the long run, it's going to pay out. And that's fine for them. Fine for them, even though in the moment that may be very difficult. They're completely okay with it if there's a better, brighter future tomorrow. And in the stress of a difficult time or a difficult moment, these folks can get very, very egotistical and high-minded and very critical. Finally, our Orange Freedom Group. And you know where this is going. You throw in stress to a person that doesn't like the rules and that doesn't give any heed to tomorrow, and you get carelessness, You get self-centeredness where it's all about me and I just want to go have a good time and escape what's going on and get me away from this. Rebellion, rebelling against the rules, rebelling against the change of tomorrow. This person will just quit. I'm not doing that. No, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to do that at all. Act out, breaks the rules. Okay? Can you see it? Can you see it? Can you see people that have done things just like this? Let's put this into framework that we can see. We've got some strengths. Let's see if we can... Yes. We've got the green group, and now breaking the rules. See, I'm not in order anymore. Sorry, all of you gold folks. Okay, we got vision. The green group is all about looking out in the future and seeing what needs to happen, and they're very visionary. The gold group is all about the rules and trying to take care of what the rules are, protect the rules. The orange group is about fun. And the blue group is about love. But we've got some weaknesses as well. Those were the strengths. The weaknesses, the green group's weakness is pride. All this knowledge, they think they're right. The yellow group or the gold group's weakness is pride. We've been doing it this way for all these years. It's got to be right. Okay? The orange group's weakness is the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. If it looks good, do it. If it feels good, do it. That's their weakness. The blue group's weakness is peer pressure because they're all about trying to take care of other people and make the other people feel good. So if somebody else wants to go down a certain road, they are going to feel a lot of pressure to do that just to make them feel good. Now, quickly, their orientation about the time frame. Our green folks are looking at the future, way out into the future. Our gold folks are looking at the past. Our orange folks are looking at the present, and the blue groups, they don't care, just whatever everybody else thinks, they'll go along. Okay. Okay. We put all this together into one slide, and you have the strengths and the weaknesses and the orientation of these different categories of people. Now let's get back to what we're talking about in the Scriptures. After this much discussion, let's go back to that thought process. Paul is saying there's different gifts, there's different strengths, there's different weaknesses. There's differences, different gifts of different administrations and different operations, and there's different gifts, some for wisdom and some for knowledge, etc., etc. I think this looks like gifts. Because our green folks have got the vision to look out into the future and to see what do we need to do over the next 5 years so that we'll still be existing in 5 years. And our gold folks keep us grounded to remember that whatever we do, we can't leave the Scriptures. We've got to be solid in the Scriptures. We've got to have some tradition. We've got to have not manly tradition, but tradition in the Scriptures and following that. Our orange folks are all about having fun, which is, man, we need some orange folks so that when you people come in, they want to stay with us. We want to have something to talk about when we go eat lunch. Okay? We want to have a good time. We want to have smiling faces. And then our blue people that are all about love are so important because we all need that pat on the back. But does it ever work that way with that much harmony? Does it ever work that way so that the strengths complement each other? What do you see when you see this board here, this chart? I see a green group that's all about the future with pride as their weakness. And I see a gold group that's looking at the past and pride as their weakness. And I see opportunity for these two groups to clash. One wants to change and adapt and be palatable to whatever will work. The other group wants to hang on to the way we've always done it. I see a gold group that's going to clash with a group that's all about fun. I see a group that's all about responsibility and a group that's all about fun clashing because one says, listen, we've got to do this. We've got to be here and take care of this, and this is our responsibility. And the other group says, yeah, but we've got to have some fun. And I see those two groups clashing. And I see this blue group and the green group clashing, because the green group, let's change and let's adapt and let's be moldable and let's grow and let's look at what we can do to do better. And this group says, yeah, but it's going to hurt somebody's feelings. And that's going to run everybody off. And nobody's going to want to go along with that, so you ought to just not even say it. You see some opportunity for conflict? I do. I see a lot of opportunity for conflict. Going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul says in verses 18 through 20, "But now hath God set them members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now they are many members, yet one body. As God pleased, he put us in this body. As God pleased, he put us in the body. As God pleased, he put us in the body." So that means this is what he wanted. We're going to have some folks that are really good at the future. We're going to have some folks that are really good at the past. Some folks that are going to have some fun, and some folks that are going to be about love and deep relationships. And that's exactly what God wanted. Verse 21 says, "And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you." What can happen? What can happen is, if we're not careful, we can have groups and sects, S-E-C-T-S, and we can have groups of people that can kind of get divided and say, "We don't need those folks. They can't manage themselves. Yeah, they have a good time, but that's all there is." This verse is saying that that's wrong. We could have a group that says, "Listen, we're going to adapt and change, and those folks that all they want to do is keep on doing the same things they've always done. We don't need them." This verse is saying that's wrong. It's saying that that is not right. That is not the right way to go about it. To emphasize this even more, the Apostle Paul closes this chapter, verse 31, this way. He says, "But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way." Covet the best gifts. So, yes, covet that vision. Yes, desire to have that ability to keep the rules. Yes, desire that ability to have fun and to talk and to be talkative and be energetic and to be an easy conversationalist. And have that desire to have those deep relationships. But Paul says, there's a better way than that. There's a better way than that. I show it to you a more excellent way. This is the last verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And the next verse, he begins 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which is not about these different categories at all. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which is the famous chapter on love. A more excellent way. Desire the best gifts of those that you see in your congregation. Desire that good gift, but there's a better way even than that. Even than that. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, Paul says there to those at Colossae, "Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." Forgive. Forbear. Be humble. Be kind. Be merciful. Forgive. Forbear. How many verses could we find on patience? How many verses could we find on forgiveness? How many verses could we find on forbearing and the need for love? And this is the most excellent way. What does that mean? What does that mean to us? That means when we look at this chart here on the wall, and we look at all the different kinds of people, that means that we've got to acknowledge that there are people that are different from us. And just based on some crude math, 75% of the world is different from me. It's different for you too. That means mean 75% of the world does not think like me, is not wired like me. 75% of the world does not have my strengths. Thankfully, 75% of the world doesn't have my weaknesses either. Forgive, forbear, be patient. Forgive, forbear, be patient. Is there a need for us, friends, to look closely at each other's lives and to examine each other? We talked about that last night. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. We are to look for sin, and we're to run from sin. But there are many things that's not sinful. There's many things that's just a person's character, or not character, bad word, a person's personality. Person's personality that's not wrong. And guess what? That person has some strengths that we might need. They have some weaknesses. And guess what? We've got weaknesses too. We've got weaknesses too, because there's not a group up here that's perfect. Every group up here has got some good and it's got some inherent weaknesses, and we all have it. So we need to be forgiving and forbearing. Guess what? Because we need that same forgiveness. And we need people to be forbearing with us. There's one more way to think about all of what we've talked about tonight. And I want us to think about what is said in James, the first chapter. James writes, verse 22, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." We understand that concept, and he builds on it, and listen to what he says. "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass." Natural face. What we've talked about right here, this is the natural state, okay? We can change, we can grow, we can develop different characteristics, but we've got one or two that are dominant in our life. This passage says, a hearer of the word is like a man that observes his natural face. That means, perhaps tonight, you've seen who you are in this mirror. And you say, yep, I'm a gold, I know it, I'm a gold person, and I'm a rule keeper, or I'm a green person. And usually because green folks are so cognitive driven, they may never decide that they truly are green, because they want to learn more and more about it before they agree, yes, I'm green. Or you may say, you know, I know I'm a fun lover. I like fun, and you can see it as evidence in my life and the way that I behave and the things that I do. And you can tell based on how I spend the money and where everything. I'm a fun-loving person. Or I'm a deep relationship person. That's who I am. This passage says, a hearer is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man should be blessed in his deed. Every one of us have inherent strengths and weaknesses. Every one of us. Those strengths, if we can learn to live with each other, those strengths can help us to grow as a congregation and grow as a church and grow as the body. But in order for that to happen, we need to all have the ability to forbear other people that sometimes rub us the wrong way, get on our nerves, get under our skin. We've got to have the ability to put up with that for the betterment of the other person, because they need us. They need our strengths, and they need us to be supportive of them so that they can grow and overcome their weaknesses. And then, friends, we've got to see our weaknesses. Our weaknesses. Two of the groups we've talked about, their weakness is pride, because they think they know so much, either about the future or about the past. They are right. They are right, and nobody else that would do it any other way could possibly be right, because they are so right. We've got to be careful about that. We've got to be very careful. We've got to be very forbearing, because there's many ways to do things that are not wrong. But more than that, we need love. We need love, and we need it desperately. And we need to be loving of other people that are different from us. And this is the point that Jesus is making in the parable of the prodigal son. Because The prodigal was a fun lover. I think he fits that mold perfectly. Throw caution to the wind and go have a good time until the money's gone. And then he wakes up and he's having to eat the food that was intended for hogs. And he has to come home and beg forgiveness of his father. But his brother, who was a rule keeper, who was steadfast, who continually worked and continually maintained the farm, looks over and says, "Why are you doing this for him, for that sorry, good-for-nothing brother of mine? And here I have been doing the right thing all these years, and you never did the right thing for me." And in the story, the response is, "Yes, but he was lost, and now he's found. He's lost, and now he's found. You forbear. You forgive. Because he was lost, and now he's back." Can we have that spirit of forgiveness? We need it. Can we have that spirit of forbearing? We need it. Because, friends, we are a diverse group. We need long-suffering. I appreciate very much your time this evening. We're going to stand together at this time. The song selected is "Will He Answer? Well Done."